Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Welcome to the weekly sermon podcast of the Cape Elizabeth Church of the Nazarene in Cape Elizabeth, Maine. Download more sermons or learn about the Cape Elizabeth Church of the Nazarene at our website, capenazarene.org. Here's this week's message.
I remember when I first got my license, my driver's license, and I was so excited by that. First place I drove by myself without my parents was, well, to work, to pay for insurance, to pay for the gas and all that. I was driving to work, but I remember thinking to myself, oh, this is great, the freedom I have, how wonderful this is, just knowing I could be my own person, go where I want to go, thinking to myself, after work, I'm going to go see some friends because, well, I can. And like just thinking, this is so excellent, this is great. But I learned very quickly that having a license meant I became the de facto errand runner in the house. I learned that if my mom was getting ready to make some dinner, she realized she was out of something, that she'd say, hey, Tim, I need you to go to the store. And I remember the first time I was asked to go to the store, it was something like this. It was your mission, Tim. Should you choose to accept it? And I was, of course, elated. I was elated to be able to go. They trusted me to go make that trip. But I learned very quickly that on those trips, I could get away with things. Like my mom would sometimes send me for just one ingredient and give me like a $10 bill. And I'd come back with that ingredient in like a candy bar. My mom would say, well, what's that? And I'd say, shipping and handling. And so that became a kind of regular routine with us. But I learned very quickly that I was constantly sent on missions to help out, whether I was going to the store or taking my sister to an after-school event or whatever the case was. That was part of my role now. I want to read for you from Mark chapter 7 about another kind of mission that Jesus is sending his disciples on, that now that they have received, they know who he is, they've received his grace, they are following him, but they too are now sent on missions. Mark chapter 6, starting at verse 7, then Jesus, then Jesus went around teaching from village to village, calling the 12 to him, he began to send them out, two by two, and he gave them authority over evil spirits. These were his instructions. Take nothing for the journey except a staff. No bread. No bag. No money in your belts. Wear sandals, but not an extra shirt. Whenever you enter a house, stay there until you leave that town. And if any place will not welcome you or listen to you, just shake the dust off your feet when you leave as a testimony against them. And they went out and they preached that people should repent. And they drove out many demons and anointed many sick people with oil and healed them. This is Jesus sending out. He's sending the disciples on a mission. They're going out two by two. Going out two by two, on the one hand, you think, well, this is for safety. And there is an element of that. But also to have a second person is to add a second witness. Where one person can talk about what God is doing, where one person can talk about what Jesus is doing, there's always a second person to back it up and to affirm it, to give credence to the testimony. And so this sending out of the 12 is definitely referring to the core disciples. This is a commission, if you will, that they are to go out and they are to remove the evil spirits, to heal. They are to extend the ministry of Jesus. Those of us who have been in church for a while are well aware of the Great Commission. It has been shared at just about any missionary meeting, just about every evangelism strategy that a church has ever tried. The Great Commission in Matthew chapter 28, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations. And this sending out that Jesus has at the end of the gospel, after he's raised from the dead, to all who have gathered, to all the disciples, does indeed show us that this idea of going out and sharing what Jesus has done is indeed our mission. Even though it is our practice as preachers, every passage we read from, to talk about how it relates and how we too take part in this. We know straight from the words of Jesus that the commissioning he has for the disciples is a commissioning he will have for all of us as well. Indeed, we might just say that Mark chapter 6 is a foreshadowing of the Great Commission. That indeed, when he talks to the disciples and the 12 and sends them out and says, you're going to testify and be a witness to what Jesus is doing, and indeed you're going to have authority over the evil spirits, which is a way of saying the message of Jesus overcomes that which holds people down. It's a way of saying whatever it is that is keeping people away from God or is destroying them in their life, Jesus can have victory over that, and we are to speak that victory into their lives and to help them receive indeed the power of Jesus in their life. And to see this commission to his disciples is to see that that is a part of our calling as well when we are called to go and make disciples, to recognize, to help people accept the power of God in their life to overcome sin, to overcome fear, indeed, to turn completely over to God. And then we might even say that when it comes to trying to understand Jesus' call to the church and what it might look like to be sent out, that Mark 6 is precisely the kind of verse that might give us a hint of what Jesus is talking about. For this was his first commission to the 12. And so he says to them, I don't want you to take anything. Okay, you can have a staff. A staff might help you make your journey. Whether it was for protection or whether it was like someone who goes on a trail with those hiking sticks, you know, it's something that will help them continue on in their journey. You can at least have that. But he says, no bread, no bag. You're not going to take money, anything. And to me, that's not how I would operate at all. So I kind of made it a year goal to hit at least 12 trails this year, just what I've been doing. So about every other week, maybe I make sure I find a hiking trail and do that. And so this last week when I went, I was looking and I found one that was like, oh, that's good. That would take like 2 days. I'd have to take like a little tent or something. That I found a trail that would be fun, and I started immediately thinking, how would I do this? What other supplies might I need? Jen went with me this week, and I was like, oh man, on any long hikes, I'm going to have to get one of those like netted hats or something, because the flies just will not leave this bald head alone. And so I'm already kind of just like making plans and thoughts, what kind of food, what kind of bags, what would I need for this? And Jesus says to disciples, on this journey... don't worry about those kinds of things. I don't want you to have to make excessive plans for something like that. But historically during that time, there was an expectation of hospitality for teachers. For when a teacher came in, or a wandering prophet, like the priests were in the temple, a wandering prophet, I guess, works. Someone who was speaking the word of God. Whether it was a teacher or a prophet, they were especially hospitable during that time. It wasn't like now where, you know, teachers have a building, they have a school where they can go in, right? The teachers were ones who, when you found one who was particularly gifted as a teacher, you welcomed them in because you wanted to learn from them. You wanted their children to learn from them. And that was a part of that time. Was those who gave wisdom, those who imparted to them some kind of understanding of who they were or who God was or what they could do to learn more, this was an ideal time for them to learn from them. And so they were especially hospitable for teachers who might come into their town. And so when he says, don't take anything, it's this understanding of there is a culture for them at that time. There is a culture in which people will be hospitable. Lean on that, trust in that, because their hospitality will be a sign of God's providence for you, God taking care of you. Don't think that God will not take care of you. He will indeed be with you. And so his words to them is a word of trust, a word of recognizing that God will never leave us, that God is always watching out for us. In fact, he says to them, when they are hospitable and they welcome you in their house, Don't go saying, well, I wonder if that house over there is nicer. like recognize where you are and wherever someone has welcomed you, wherever, whatever situation you found yourself in, trust that God has you there for a reason. So he says, stay there until you leave town. That is, don't keep moving around until you find something better. The grass isn't greener on the other side. In the vein of God's provision and protection, trust that which has been given to your care. And this is a word for us to commit to the discipleship opportunities that we have among those around us, among those we love, among those we've gotten to know. The connections we have, the people God has placed in our life, the people that we know are the best ones God can use us for the sake of the gospel. Those are the very people that God has put in our life for a reason, that God has allowed our paths to intersect to help them in this life, to help them realize that God has a plan for them and that God can help them have victory over whatever it is that is coming against them in their way. And this is his word for them. So when he says, don't go looking for another house, I can't help but think this is a way of saying, you know whom God has put in your life. Don't give up on them. You have been welcomed into their circle of friends. You have been welcomed into those connections. This is where God has you, and he has you for a reason. And know that God can continue to speak through you into their life. And he says to them, he says, where that isn't possible, just shake the dust off your feet. Now, this isn't just merely giving up, but it's finding the right home. It's finding a place where indeed you can be all that God has created you to be. You can be the witness God has created you to be. But this idea of shaking the dust off your feet is something that initially doesn't sit well with me. I don't like the idea of giving up on somebody, of being like, well, I'm done with them. They didn't like what they had to say. That, oh, well, at least I got my truth out there, or something like that. Like that to me just doesn't, if that's the way we see that, then it leads to a very I'm right, you're wrong kind of attitude when talking to them about God. Let me just tell you what's right. If you don't like it, so be it. But I don't think that's the wisdom from here at all. I think the wisdom from here is recognizing where our voice and our witness doesn't have power because it's just not welcomed. And to not allow that contentious area, that contentious zone, to detract from the very witness that we have. In fact, there's a part of me that can't help but wish more people would read verse 11, shake the dust off your feet when you're not welcome, whenever they're on an online chat forum or something. If Christians would realize that public online chat windows or chat comment sections are not the ideal place to talk about our Christian witness, I think that there would be a lot of harm that was undone because it's just not the home where that is welcomed. And instead, people find themselves coming off very, very pridefully. So he says to him, he says, know where God has placed you. Know the connections God has given you. Know the homes where you have been welcomed. And let God work through you there. You see, the mission is never ours alone. The mission is never just about, whether I feel comfortable, what they will think of me. The mission is always God's. It's never my ministry, it's never my work, it's always what is God going to do through me. It's not about the mission of whatever a side organization might be doing that happens to align with the activity of God. Always and all times, we are pointing to the work of Jesus in our life and the lives and for the lives of others. That perhaps we can indeed help people to recognize that Jesus is with them. And that can happen not only as a promise and a catalyst for how they live today, knowing what Jesus will do for us in the future, but also knowing that God is with us now. to help us overcome fears. And God is with us now to help us have victory over sin, as we sang in our song just before this message, that God is working in our lives now so that we don't have to be defined by our fears, our weaknesses, and our sins. Like, I find myself thinking of the testimony that was shared last week in church. There was someone who gave testimony about having a procedure later on, just this last week, and afraid and certain that, oh, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. I'm too afraid. I don't think I'm going to do it. But someone came alongside of her and said, no, this is good. You can, and I'll be here with you. We'll be there with you. And sure enough, the procedure has gone well. And she overcame her fear. But I remember praying with her and her saying, I don't know. I don't know about this. And you'll get a chance to talk with her more about that as well. But I share that today because I know she made it public in her testimony that, you know, I was nervous about this, but someone came alongside and said, no, you can move forward with this. And I think as Christians, one of the tasks that we have is to help people recognize that God is with us in the midst of the fears that come into our life that could paralyze us and keep us from doing what's best for us, but also that God is with us in the face of the very things that sometimes people do that are self-destructive or destructive to others, to be able to say, this God wants to help you through this. Now, we have a way in which we do that, right? If God has been loving and gracious to us, we do that with grace and with love as well. Again, never from a sense of, I'm right, you're wrong, and I'm just going to tell you and hope you accept it. But always from a stance of, this is how God has worked in my life. I believe God can work in your life. All the disciples of Jesus are ones who have been radically encountered by Jesus Christ, and they know without doubt what Jesus has already begun to do for them, and so they go out with that as well. And so they are empowered indeed to help, to heal, and to lead people to repentance. And that is the key message that they have. A message of repentance, which is simply a word that means to turn and align oneself with God. To turn away from the ways of the world and to turn away from kind of the inward kind of, oh, it's all about me mentality. And to have an outward focus on what God has in store for us and what God wants for our life. Such that we can recognize that we can talk to people and say, Jesus wants you to have victory over that evil or that sin. Jesus wants us to have victory over what controls us and holds us down. That someone can come along and help us overcome fears and overcome sin and overcome the things that keep us down that might otherwise hold us back. Our message is indeed a message of repentance, that our eyes and our direction would be turned towards God. We are telling people that God has a plan of victory. God has a future for us. And whenever we see, as God's disciples, something that just is not working in the lives of the friends around us, a sin that is hurting another or hurting themselves, that we as God's disciples, we're called to address it. We're called to say, this isn't God's plan for your life. And as people who have encountered His grace, I think we can do that in a way that still understands who they are. That it's not a falling into judgment. It is a taking seriously the call to be the disciples God has commissioned us to be, to go out and help to change a world. And so when we see something that's wrong, we say, you know what? I see something that isn't great, and I've experienced that too, and this is how God has helped me, so let me help you. To recognize that God has put those people in our lives, that God has allowed us into those homes or into those lives because perhaps we are precisely the people to speak about those issues to help Jesus have victory in their life. This is the mission that He gives to His disciples. The first time, as a child, when I was sent on an errand, I was elated. I was excited. This is good. You trust me? You trust me to go out on by myself? This is awesome. I want you to know today, God trusts you. God trusts you where you are, with the connections that you have, with the people that you know. to be able to speak hope and good news in their life. And when he says, don't bring anything, that's actually good news. It means you don't have to be the best preacher. You don't even have to be a preacher. You might say, oh, I don't know anything about the Bible. But that's okay, because when someone says something or someone is struggling with something, sometimes the best thing we can say is, you know, in times like this, I just pray. Can I pray for you? And it can change the whole tenor of what might happen. And what the Spirit of God might do in a situation like that can change everything. And you don't have to be prepared with anything. You don't even have to know what you don't have to have a pre-planned prayer. You don't have to have a scripture memorized to share. You're just being who you are and who God has made you before them in whatever situation has come before them. And I think, and in the first time that you do that for someone, you will be elated. It'll be like, wow, I think God has started to move here. I think this is great. It's awesome. And even if it's nothing more than just, okay, and nothing else comes of it, it's like, I was faithful in that moment. Where else is God going to use me? And I don't know about you, but as I continue to be asked to run errands, to do things with the newfound freedom I thought I had, when my parents kept asking, okay, now run this errand, now run this errand. After a while, it got kind of tiring. I was like, oh, here I am again. I was going to do something, or I had another plan, but I got to go run this errand or run that errand. And you know, sometimes we can even come to think after a while, you know what? I've been working, and I've been praying, and I've been talking to some of the people God has put in my life for a long time. And sometimes it just seems like it's just gotten very mundane lately. But I want you to know today that God has said, you know, as long as you are still welcomed in this town, as long as you're still welcomed in that home, as long as the connection is still there, God's still working through you. God is still with you. And know that God trusts you to continue to be faithful to the mission, to be faithful to Him, and to share with those around us, even when things start to get a little mundane, even if you're wondering, okay, what kind of difference is being made here? Know that sharing the love and grace of God on a consistent basis, sometimes for no other reason than just, you are a friend or you are someone whom I love. And I know God has loved me, and so I'll love you with the love that God has, is precisely where we are and precisely where we need to be. Because it's that consistency in showing grace that will show indeed the consistency God has had for us. That our witness and our lives can indeed be a consistent witness of grace and love. And through that, we might be surprised indeed by just when and where people are turning their lives over and they are being freed from the demons that haunt them and healed from that which afflicts them. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, today we come to you as disciples. We come to you as people who have worshiped and praised your name. And Heavenly Father, there are so many ways in which you have entered into our life and you have been gracious to us. And Heavenly Father, to think that this morning, in this reading, you send us out. The Heavenly Father, as we have drawn near today to worship and to honor you, just as your disciples drew near and followed after Jesus, Lord, you sent them out into the world. That indeed the grace that they receive would be grace that was shared. And so, Heavenly Father, today I pray that you would help us share the grace that we have received. And Lord, we have lots of reasons, lots of ways of saying not now or this isn't my time. Lots of ways in which we say I'm not prepared, I don't have the skills, I just don't have, I'm just not wired that way, whatever it is. But Heavenly Father, you sent out your disciples. Your Son sent out the disciples with hardly anything except your Holy Spirit to work through them. And so, Lord, today, we take that not as an impetus to ignore preparation or to ignore getting closer to you. Not as an excuse to ignore reading your word, but Lord, we take that as a way to avoid saying, I can't. Lord, we take this message as a way of recognizing that wherever we are today, however prepared we are today, is good enough when your Spirit is with us. And so, Heavenly Father, thank you again for your word, for your message. And help us, Lord, in our life, wherever we are, that we'd be agents of your grace and your love, and that we would help others to turn and see that you are the God who is still with us. Amen. I do believe that this church in Cape Elizabeth has a purpose and has a mission. And our church, given its location, its size, its parking, or lack thereof, all kinds of things, is going to have a mission that is going to look a little different than, I don't know, The Rock or some other great large churches in this area. But without a doubt, God has a place and a purpose for us here in Cape Elizabeth. And it begins with where we are able to extend God's grace precisely in the connections that we have and the places that we are at. To trust that God is still working and saving and healing people today. Let us continue to be faithful to Him and to know that He is working in precisely this place where He has put us.
Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us, to Him be the glory in the church and in Jesus Christ throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. We hope this sermon has encouraged you with the gospel of Jesus. More sermons are available online at our website, capenazarene.org. May God richly bless you as you serve Him today.